I have, through the years, celebrated these feasts. But there is something very unique about this one in my spirit. Because I really sense in my spirit that this one marks out a henceforth setting. And today I want to encourage you to receive the word of the Lord, to step into the destiny that God has for you and for me. The Bible tells us about many books of records. There's a book of remembrance, there's a book of the living, there's a book of life, and on and on. And each book represents a particular aspect of what God wants to do in the lives of his people. The book of the living is a book of destinies. The book of remembrance is a book that records the fact that God has appointed you to a particular destiny. All of us are destined to arrive at the same spot in Christ. Every one of us. But every one of us has a particular role to play. A particular assignment. If you were to go to the Parliament building or to the point of governance in our country, you'll find that while everyone is part of the federal government, there are people who are in the Ministry of Defense, and there's some people that are in the Ministry of Finance, and some in the Ministry of Health, and some in the Ministry of Education, and some in the Ministry of Homeland Security. I don't know what we call it here, but in the States it's Homeland Security. They're all part of the government, but they all have a particular assignment to fulfill. And in the calling and grace that God has for you and for me, while we're all doing something together in the government of God, we all have particular assignments that God has called us to. This morning, after the service, a mother said, "My son is celebrating 17 years of living today." I said, "Oh." He said, "I brought him so that you can pray for him." So we, Mama and I, began to pray for him, and I said, "The Lord says that you're supposed to be an engineer, and you're an engineer, and there are obstacles in your pathway that are trying to stop you, but hold steadfast, you are going to get through." And the mother says, "Tell him, tell him, tell him." I said, "What? Tell me what?" He says, "That's exactly what he wants to do. That's exactly what his calling is. And there have been obstacles." I said, "Well, God doesn't want you to waste time and start shifting to this and shifting to that. God has a destiny. So to be an engineer is part of being ministry." Amen? Ministry is not just behind this holy desk. It is in whatever it is God has called you and your children and your children's children for all generations until he comes to do. My prayer is that not one person in this household of faith will miss their particular assignment, wasting their time doing other things for whatever reasons, because that's what is the fad today. No, no, no. If God has called you to be an automobile engineer, a mechanic, do that. Don't try to be a doctor. Amen? Hallelujah? Yeah, maybe you make more money and maybe you have more prestige doing that, but what God called you to do is a mechanic. If God called you to be a farmer, be a farmer, not a pharmacist. Everybody must be honored for the assignment God has called them to fulfill. We're not all called to do the same thing. But we're all called to serve the same God. And so he says, whatever it is that you do, do it as unto the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. There's a book of remembrance. The book of Remembrance addresses everything that you do. It is recorded. There's a memorial attached to whatever it is God calls us to do. And God rewards us as we obey His calling. Amen? So today is the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Word of God tells us certain things about this feast. There are three feasts that God says very specifically that we need to present ourselves at. You cannot send somebody else to represent you. And you know the amazing thing about it? I never thought about this until just a moment ago. God dropped it in my spirit. While I was there getting my mic on, the Lord said, I ask for every male to appear before me and to do so not empty-handed. He said, do you recognize that people get sick? I said, yeah. So you think that there are sick people that were men? I said, yes. So if I said for all men to appear before me, do you think I healed them? I said, ooh, never thought about that. I never thought that these three feasts were the times of God releasing His healing power. Any wonder that in John 5, the angel came and troubled the waters, and whoever stepped into it got healed? What season do you think that was? It was during these feast seasons that God comes there. And Jesus came there that day to heal a man that had been in that state for 38 years. But this is the amazing thing, that He came there and He started something new, but people did not catch on. You say, what new thing did He start? It was not the healing, because every time an angel came there, but this time an angel did not come. He came. The waters were not troubled, but a man was walking away healed, and everybody did not clue in and say, wait a minute, something just changed. Something just changed. The water is not troubled, but a man is carrying his bed and going home on a Sabbath. Me too. A sister just had a vehicle bought, and it's just a nice vehicle. And then I think about a week later, another sister brought another nice vehicle, much nicer, and she came there and she said, remember, she just got hers. She said, me too. I said, you just got one. He said, no, me too. And guess what? 2 weeks later, me too happened. Hallelujah. She got the better. Because every time we pray with people about their vehicles, we say, let this one birth a better one. She says, me too. And when I saw the new vehicle, I said, oh, wow, this is a me too one. You can make a decision to allow God to do the extraordinary in your life, or you can sit there like a bump on a log and watch life go by you. Or you can say, God, if you're doing anything, count me in. Hallelujah. If you're going to use anyone, use me. Whatever it is that you are doing, I want to be right there in the midst of it, doing it. I want to be where it's happening. It's a decision that we must all make. So the Lord says, do you think? I said, wow, I never thought about that. So this is a time of healing. Hallelujah. And let everyone, every man and every woman hearing my voice now, take a hold of the healing anointing of God and say, God, if you've ever healed anybody, I am here today to receive my healing. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, Deuteronomy 16, verse 13 through 16. Deuteronomy 16, 13 through 16. It says, thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. That is this feast. After that, thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. We read this morning that God says, I will call for the corn. Amen? God is the one that will call for what he's asking you for. And the thing then is this, can God trust me with what he's releasing into my hands? God's not asking me for something he has not done for me. He's asking me for something he's committed to do in my life. And if you are trustworthy in the little, then God will give you more. Amen? Hallelujah. It says, and thou shalt rejoice in thy feast. Thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are within thy gates. Everyone will rejoice in this feast. And then it says, 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase. The Lord shall bless thee in all what? Thine increase. And in all the works of thine hands, therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. Amen. You are going to what? Surely rejoice. Because God is going to bless thee in all thine increase. And then it says, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. Now that's important, because he's saying it again, in the place which he shall what? Choose. So there is a place that God is going to connect with you. He has chosen that place and says, this is the place I'm going to connect with you. In the Feast of Unleavened Bread, this is the Passover. And then it says, and in the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Think about that. They shall not appear before the Lord what? Empty. In other words, God is saying, I need you to be involved doing something. Now, think about that word, they shall not appear before the Lord empty. This is a commitment of the Lord. Not just a commitment from me or from you. Don't appear before the Lord empty means that God, on his part, has to fill me. And that I, on my part, do what God has graced me to do. Let me just go one more step to verse 17. Every man shall give. Every man shall what? Give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord, thy God, which he had what? Given thee. You do as you are able according to the blessing of the Lord. So your giving is an expression of how you think God has blessed you. Let me say that again. Your giving is an expression of how you think God has blessed you. Let me say it a third time. Your giving is according to your perception, your understanding of how God has blessed you. You can decide to give little because you think God blessed you little, or you can give much because you believe God blessed you much. But understand that it will be unto you according to how you believe. Every man shall give as he is able or enabled according to the blessing. This is the time that you determine what the rest of your year looks like. Whether there's an expression of true thanksgiving to God for what he has done for you, how he has sustained you, how he has kept you, how he has protected you, how he has provided for you. Because let me tell you, your story this next year is going to be determined by what you do now. Hear this. And if you decrease, because God says, I'll bless you in your increase. Amen? Not in just what you are today. I'm going to bring increase into your life, and I'm going to bless you in that increase. Praise the Lord. So we determine what much we are going to have or not have. Understand that this feast, God says he wants all men, male, to appear before him. Why? I've told you many times over that the reason is because the male is a seed carrier. God created men and he placed seeds in them. Amen? And at this time, God wants to bless the seed he has placed in you and placed in every male child. Your future is determined by what you do now. You know, we sit down here and we might say things about our Jewish brothers who celebrate this feast. And we wonder, what makes them so smart? It is not because of their fancy suits. If you want fancy suits, go to Paris or something. They don't have fancy suits in Israel. That's not what made it happen. Actually, they could care about fashion in Israel. That's not the power. You know, their power dressing is not in their suit. Their power dressing is in what they are doing during this feast. It's the secret. And it is an eternal secret. It has nothing to do with Old Testament and New Testament. Because even in the New Testament, Jesus is celebrating it. And after this age is fulfilled, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and it's the time of the millennium, we will still be celebrating this one feast. Amen. Not Pentecost, not Passover, but this one, Tabernacle. And he says, if you don't show up to worship me at the time of Tabernacle, sorry, your goose is cooked. In other words, this feast is the feast that declares your loyalty to God, that declares, I belong to God. God, you are sovereign over my life. It is here. This is the make or break one. In Luke, the Lord Jesus Christ talked about the sowing of the seeds by the sower. And he said, the seed that fell on the good ground produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. I shared this with you last week. The 30-fold is tied to Passover. The 60-fold is tied to Pentecost. And the 100-fold return is tied to the Feast of Tabernacles. So when he spoke and said, it returned 30, 60, 100-fold, the Jewish men and women that were sitting there listening to him understood what he was talking about. They understood, that first feast, 30, the second one, 60, this one, 100-fold. They understood that. We need to understand the same thing today. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 In Zechariah chapter 14, then I'm going to go in another direction in just a moment. In Zechariah 14, verse 16, Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, and verse 16, it says, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of what? Tabernacles. Everyone that came against the city of peace, they will be forced to come to this feast of tabernacles. Verse 17. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no what? Rain. First thing. You know, there's a song, I like this song, and it's an amazing song. But reflecting on it today, because it says, God's, you know, something like saves you from the rain. It's so wrong. No, you need rain. Rain has always been good. Amen? you're not salt. You know, I know that you're the salt of the air. Don't start writing me letters on that. But you're not that kind of salt that vanishes because water touches you. You need rain. I need rain on my life because there is no increase and there's no growth without that rain. Better than your tap water is the rain that comes from God for your crop. Amen? Hallelujah. Rain is a result of clouds gathering water. Oh, but child of God, when you have the cloud that is over your life coming forth from the rain or from the river of God, then you have the full circle. River of God, when it's pouring on you. I walked out the other day, you know, to take out some stuff, and normally I run in when it's raining, run to do what I want to do and run back. But this time I said, the rain of God is pouring over me. I walk as slowly as I want. I walked as slowly as I want because I have a revelation that there's a river of God. And I want that river of God to water my life. God says the first thing is going to happen, you're not going to have rain. And if you don't have rain, you have drought. You have famine. You have lack. And for the people he was talking to at that particular time, who came from an agricultural setting, they understood no rain, no economy. In other words, God is saying, hey, I need for these people to understand that if they want to experience God's best, they have to come worship. Amen? And I'm going to show you from the Word of God in the days to come, as the Lord leads me, how God has connected rain with favor. today for us, it is the favor of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, verse 18 says, and if the family of Egypt go not up, and Egypt there representing the world, and come not, that have no rain. In other words, they are experiencing judgment, but in spite of the judgment, they have hardened their hearts. There shall be the plague, that's the next level, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast of what? Tabernacles. Now, this is during the millennium reign. What are these people? These are the people that the devil, when he's released after the 1,000 years, will come and join with the devil to resist God. So God says, I'm going to know your loyalty by whether you come in here and worship during this feast of tabernacles. Let's go one more. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the feast of what? Tabernacles. Again and again, God is stating it. He didn't say about Pentecost. He didn't say about unleavened bread. He's saying about tabernacles. There is a judgment connected to not obeying this feast. If there's a judgment connected to not obeying that feast, then do you think that judgment is now also? When he said already, all nail appear before me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go a little bit deeper. Come with me to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. John 7, 37. In John 7, the brothers of Jesus were taunting him. They said, go show yourself at the feast. Go show up at the feast. And he said, it's not my time yet. When's time I'll show up? Just go ahead. And during the midst of this conference at the Feast of Tabernacles, he shows up and begins to do different things. But on the last day, the great day, someone said the great day, that's today. Amen? It's a great day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the last day, that great day of the feast, this is the most important day of the feast. The beginning is important, but at the end here, something happens. And I shared with you this morning that in the book of Nehemiah, they went on to an 8th day because they were declaring a new beginning. Amen? Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If you're thirsty, come to me, drink. Understand that you were made from this earth. Yeah? From dirt. And just like you thirst, so does your earth thirst if there's no rain on it. God says, if you're thirsty, if you're feeling dry, if you're feeling disconnected, if you're feeling like things are not happening the right way, in the right order in your life, if you thirst, he says, come to me and drink. Now, the book of Revelation says that the river of God flows from the very throne of God. When you come to him and you drink, you're going to be drinking out of that river of God. Now understand that the very first time we hear about the Spirit of God, very first time, where did we hear about him? In Genesis. In Genesis 1 and verse 2. And the Spirit of God brooded. You know what? You don't understand what brooding is? That's what a chicken does with its eggs so that it births. Are you with me? The Spirit of God hovered, brooded, went over the waters. So water is the first material thing that we see. And the Spirit of God is right there. And so when the Lord talks about the receiving of the Spirit of God, he's not separating that water from the Spirit, because the Spirit is altogether one. Now, I'm going to share some things with you in just a moment to pull all of this together. But he talked about this. John 7 again. In Genesis 1, we know that the Spirit of God brooded upon the waters or moved. So one of the first things we know about God is that God is a mover. Amen? Then it says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. Someone say rivers. Of what? Living water. Living water. Rivers of living water. If God brought us back to Eden, and he's talking about rivers of living water, then you must please understand that just like he split the one river, the river of God, into four rivers, that God will do the same thing in your life and cause you to experience a supernatural experience that supersedes anything that the natural mind can ascertain. We're not talking about things that make sense to the natural mind. We're talking about another dimension. Amen? And this is what we must tap into. God is bringing me to another dimension of supernatural living. Somebody shout hallelujah. He said, you come, you drink from me, you believe in me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this, he says, going on, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Which they that believe on him should what? Receive. Which they that believe on him should receive. Which they that believe on him should what? Receive. Is should and shall the same? For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. He was not yet glorified. He was not yet glorified. But what is this glory? It is the glory of becoming so one with God, with the same glory that he had before he came. Now that glory that he had before he came was a glory that brought everything that we see in the material world into existence. Amen? It was all that God is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now let's go to verse 40 through 44. It says this: many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Now this, the reason I want to go here is because this forces you to come to the recognition of who Jesus is. And at the Feast of Tabernacles, you have to make a decision on who Jesus is. I don't want to miss that point. You've got to make a decision on who's Jesus to me. Others said, this is the Christ. Some said, he's the true prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Shall Christ come out of Galilee? And watch this. 42. Had not the scripture said, their qualification is based on what the scripture said, and their disbelief is based on what the scripture said. Had not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David? Were they right? Absolutely. And out of the town of Bethlehem? Were they right? Absolutely. Where David was? Were they right? Absolutely. But what were they making their judgments based on? They were making their judgment based on the fact that he was living in Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, no, wait. Do you know the roots? Because they did not know the root, his roots, his beginnings. They were making judgment on what they see now. Let me tell you something, child of God. People are going to be seriously mistaken if they make judgment on your life based on what they see now, because God is making judgment based on your roots, and your roots are in him. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your beginnings are in him. Amen. Glory to God. And that's where they were right. They were absolutely right. He's going to come from Bethlehem. But he's from Nazareth. He's from Galilee. Nazareth. How can he be the Messiah, the Christ, when he's from Nazareth? No. Check your records, man. Go beyond what you think and go deeper, and you'll find out he's also from Bethlehem, because God commissioned and touched a man, a Caesar, and said, everybody go back to your roots to be counted, to be accounted for. And so his mother and his father left and went to Bethlehem. And when they got there, there was no room for him in the inn, but he was still born there in a stable, in an ordinary place where the animals were, because God wanted to elevate people to another level. Hallelujah. So their confusion was based on misinformation. Now, child of God, your loyalty to God, it's going to be based on whether you judge him based on what you think you know, or judge him based on what he really is. Who he really is. Who is Jesus? What do you know about him? And how connected are you with him? Now, in John 14, remember, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to go through this fairly quickly as I can, and then we're going to do something different tonight, because I want every one of us as families to come and make, as if it were, a presentation of our expression of thanksgiving to the Lord. And say, God, I thank you for what you've done for me and my family. I bring you my tabernacle offering. I release it into your hand. Bless me beyond my wildest hopes, dreams, and expectations. Amen? Hallelujah. So come with me to John 14. I'm going to start reading from verse 10. Here I want to talk about the fact that God is tabernacling with us by abiding with us. In John 14, verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth what? The works. What works is he talking about? He's talking about the miracles that were performed. All the miracles. He's saying, listen, you see these miracles that are happening? God did them. I had nothing to do with it. God gave sight. The Father gave sight to the blind. He made that crippled person walk. He gave hearing to this deaf person. He gave the ability to speak to this dumb. He raised this dead person. My Father is the one busy doing the works. And what is the point, you say? The Father is still going to do the works. Amen? He is still going to be the one who does the works. You got to just believe that the Father will do it. He will bring the increase into your life. He will shower you with his favor. He will heal you. He will deliver you. He will set you free. He will use your life to impart lives. Jesus says, believest thou not that I am in the Father? And that's the key thing. I am in the Father. And he said, and the Father in me. You say, how is that possible? How can you be in the Father and the Father be in you? And this is it. That's the Father, that's him. He is in the Father, and the Father is in him. That's called partnership. Amen? Hallelujah. Faith without works is what? Dead. Being alone. God has all the faith. You live by his faith, but he is going to equip you to do the works that match up with the faith. Somebody listening? So God is going to empower you with supernatural wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and grant you the boldness to do what you couldn't have done by yourself. Amen? He says, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. If you hear me talking, I'm not speaking by myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he speaketh. That's what he should say. Yes? But he doesn't say, the Father speaketh. He says, he doeth the works. But who spoke? I did. And God did the works. Oh, so you mean I prophesy and God does the works? That's exactly what he's saying. You say, and God does it. Now watch this. Watch this. Verse 11. Believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. The very fact that there are miracles happening is because I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Verse 12, watch this. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. But Jesus, you just said you didn't do any works. Oh, wait a minute. You didn't do any works. But you're saying, if I believe in you, the works that you did, I am going to do also. But you said the Father does the work. Oh, that's what he's saying. He's still saying the same thing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go unto my Father. I'm going to my Father. And now you're going to do greater works. What do you mean, Lord? No, this is what I mean. I and the Father are going to be in partnership together, double power, and now we're going to link up with you. Now we're going to do double. You getting the point? Now, I and the Father, we're just doing it here like this, but now we're going to be one. Thicker, more power. And now we're going to link with you. And when we link with you, greater things are going to happen. Huh? Is there not going to be a weak link? And God says, no. I am going to be in you. Let me go further. Watch this. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. 14. I don't want to go there and stick with that because I'm going to keep you here too long. If you ask anything in my name, I will what? Do it. But let me say this. Whatever it is he saw the Father doing, he did. Guess what the mistake we make? We think we pray and God just comes and does it. But Jesus said, whatever it is I see the Father doing, I do it. So what's the point? The point is, as we make this connection with God, God begins to reveal to us very intimate secrets of what he is doing so that we can line up with it. We can hear what God is saying and repeat what God is saying. And when we say it, things begin to move in proper order. Amen? Hallelujah. I declare activated in your life right now every prophetic word that God has spoken into your life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let God revisit within you every word, the ones that you have forgotten, the ones that you remember, but let him revisit every page in your life and begin to bring to action and manifestation every word and every purpose, and that rapidly in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What's the next verse? If you love me, and please watch this now, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? May I suggest to you that the story of tabernacle is the story of oneness. So God says, I want you to show up, no class separation. You and your children, your servants, the Levites, strangers, everybody show up here. And every male shows up without coming empty-handed. God simply just said in that one statement, there is no class structure. I want everybody to come here. When there's no class structure, we are all in the same boat. We are all one. Does that make sense? So he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And the primary commandment of God is this: love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And he said that those two commandments were the exact same thing. That loving God is demonstrated in the way you love yourself and love your neighbor. That makes sense? If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's go on. And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That he may abide with you what? Forever. Another comforter that will abide with you forever. Let's go on. Watch this. Even the Spirit of truth, that is the Holy Ghost. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot what? Receive. The world cannot receive this Spirit of truth, because it seeth him not. If you believe in me, I'll give to you water to drink, the water of life, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he was talking about the Holy Spirit that was not yet given because he was not yet glorified. What is he talking about? This is what he's saying. You know, we talk about believing without seeing. Yeah? That's true believing. But God has another dimension. He has a dimension of you seeing to believe. Seeing what to believe what? Seeing because he reveals to you so that you see it. And in that seeing, you now know beyond believing. And that's where God really wants to take you and I. He wants to show us things that are beyond the natural. Now you're going to still have to believe it because it does not make sense to you. It's like me saying many years ago, I don't know, about 20 plus, almost 30 years ago, I see the day when I'm going to be in one place and be in different nations of the world at the same time speaking. Well, how does that make any sense to anybody? That doesn't make any sense. Oh, but at that time, we didn't know anything about holograms. But right now, I'm not talking about watching me on a video. I'm talking about you think like I'm standing here, you can touch me. That's way back. Because God showed something. When the internet was not what we know now, in the day of dot matrix, big sheets of paper, and God said to me, get cameras. For what? For the internet. That didn't make any sense. There was no technology like that at the time. If the truth be known, I really did not think that you could print on the 8x10 paper. I said, we are always going to have typewriters. Because the technology didn't look like anything like that yet. And all these big letters. You should see banners made at that time. Oh my God. To what we have now? Do you know where we are going in terms of technology? But God knows all of that. And so God will show you things that are yet to come. And when you start prophesying about those things, those technologies come alive. They get downloaded here in the earth realm. My prayer is that believers will be the ones that will be receiving this knowledge and will be activating it in the earth realm so that the wealth of God is not spent out with druggies out there. Amen. They don't have 20 brains better than us. You know, I was watching Trump the other day. He says he likes President Xi. He says because President Xi says, oh, I like that Trump because he has a big brain. I say, God help us. Hallelujah. God wants to do extraordinary things with our lives. My challenge and your challenge is this: are we ready to believe God? He says we receive the Spirit if we see the Spirit. And then he says, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Here are his disciples. The Lord said, the Spirit of God dwells with you, you know that? And he's going to be in you. He dwelleth with us. Hey, James, what is he talking about? Spirit of God dwelleth with us. I'm here with you. And the Spirit of God is in me. And if he's in me, he's with you. This is the grace God is calling us all to. For us to understand wherever God is, his environment carries over to us. That's why heaven on earth can become a true reality for us. Amen? I'm not going through hell. I am in heaven. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You understand? And only good things happen in my life because I'm not about to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go further. Watch this. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Next verse. He says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will do what? Come to you. Oh, wait a minute. What is he talking about? Is he saying that he and the Spirit are one? Watch this. Yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Because he lives, I'm going to live also. Oh, wow. Watch this. Watch this. Next verse. Watch this. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and what now? Ye in me, and I in you. The equation just changed. He was talking about the Father in me and I in the Father. But now when you receive my Spirit, the Comforter Spirit, you are going to be in me and I am going to be in the Father. But now, dropping at the middle of that is you. Come help me here. You see this? Now drop your finger right in between those two holes. Make a wrap. Okay. Do you see it? Now we fixed. I am in the center of it. What did I say? I'm in the center of it. He's right in the center of it. Jesus says, I am hidden in God, and you are hidden in me. That is supernatural protection. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll link up. We are totally linked. Now, if I'm in the center of it, I am not taking the pressure. It has nothing to do with me. It is still both of them. The only thing is I'm right in the center. And when they pull aside to each other, against each other, they squeeze me. There is no way you're going to lose, child of God. Amen. So begin to dare to think the impossible. Because to them that believe, nothing is impossible. If you can see it, if you can dream it, you can be whatever it is God says you can be. He says, I'll do exceedingly far beyond anything you dare ask or think. But it happens because he has come to tabernacle with us. Hello? When God comes to tabernacle with you, you can do anything you set your mind to do. You can break free from every limitation and everything that the enemy tries to set into motion against your life fails to succeed. Somebody shout hallelujah. 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. If you have my command and you keep it, you obey it, you're the one that loves me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will what? Manifest myself to him. I will manifest myself to him. In other words, I will take away the veil of secrecy and I say, look at me, here I am. See me? I'm not hiding from you. God says, I'm not going to hide from you. Hallelujah. It happens at this feast. Next verse. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Next verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our what? Abode. We will tabernacle with him. We'll make our abode. That means we'll stay. We are not going to come visiting if you obey my love word. If you stay in unity, we'll come stay. We'll stay with you. In other words, your prayers, your requests will no longer become long distance. It's a local call. Amen? Hallelujah. Local. 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 And beyond local, it is a face-to-face call. Because he said, I will come and manifest myself so you get to talk to me face on. This is a relationship God is calling us to. He wants to tabernacle with us. Amen? The whole idea of the tabernacle is about God coming. Remember, when the tabernacle was finally put in place, everything was in place. What did God do? He showed up with a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud to manifest his presence in the midst of them. May this become our reality in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I will stop there because I want us to tap into the next things that God wants us to experience in him. This segment is important. I am and Mama, we're going to hold on to the communion set. We're going to cut off from you. I apologize that we cannot stay on the air or streaming just perpetually. Not that there is any limit put on us, but we want to be focused on what is happening here. But I want you to know what we're going to be doing here, and I want you to do the same thing in your home. For the first 2 or 3 minutes, we'll stay on the air for you so that you see what is happening. Different families are going to come. Mama and I are going to serve them communion, and they are going to release a special offering unto the Lord. Every meal should come for the Lord. And please, for your good and for your sake, don't tip God. Give unto the Lord your very best today. Make certain that every male has something in their hands. That does not excuse the ladies from giving. Everybody's called to give. But he says, for sure, males don't come empty. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't come empty. Make sure you have something in your hand and give it to the Lord. Say, God, this is what I'm releasing out of my hands to you today. I honor you with my giving. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, Mama, let's get the offering. And we're going to stay with you for another 2-3 minutes while we do this so that you have an example. And but we want you to continue doing this in your home and just tie in with us here and let the glory of God be manifested in your lives. Amen?